Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we all know what we're going to talk about.
You know what I'm going to talk about?
Cheese.
Carl's hit it on the head.
What? Two words.
We had a Wisconsin first. That's how they say it in California. Wisconsin.
Do they say Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
I don't
think like so. Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I do.
And they'd make fun of me Wisconsin. For saying Joel.
They go Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
They say bag.
Bag.
Gotta get a bag of
Can
cheese.
Can I get my bag? And they talk. They up talk.
Can I get my
Yes.
Can I get my bag?
Not to offend literally all of you listening in California.
I got California peeps in my corner. It's okay. I love California. I was out in Vacaville.
I know
and
people
Davis.
Here, though, that talk like bag. I've literally heard people say that here.
I went to school with a girl that would, everything she said, she's like, what?
That's so fun.
No.
There was a girl that always used to be around. She'd be like, yeah, dude.
I say that to Christina, so I must have heard
Not
it
like
from
that.
You.
We
did,
oh. No, we do it ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
Wisconsin people also say, I know, right?
We also say, yeah, no.
We say stop and go lights.
We also say everything is pop.
Like the beverages.
Can of pop. Yeah.
Can of pop.
Well, Texas, everybody calls whatever it is a Coke.
Yeah.
It depends on the part of the state.
If you say want a Coke, I'm going to be thinking straight up Coke, and you hand me a grape Fanta.
It is weird.
I may react Wisconsinably.
I don't like that word. That's a thing.
Wisconsinably?
Yep. Something. I just read it.
Oh, you're thinking of the drink
booze.
Thing.
Yeah.
The booze thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
gross.
They stole that.
Yeah. People from Wisconsin also say ope.
That we also, in certain parts of the state, call a drinking fountain a bubbler.
Mm. Correct.
You remember when we went to New York, we was asking for pop, and the waitress was like, pop?
Yeah, we've, in our travels, I try to neutralize my Wisconsin accent, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And I try to call it soda.
Yeah, I say soda. Pretty normally.
I do okay. And then all of a sudden people are like, hey, Christina, did you blah, blah, blah? And I go, no.
You want to hear something crazy? When we road tripped to California, got there, people put ranch on everything. And that was before they started doing it here.
Interesting.
But they say the Midwesterners are the ones that do ranch on pizza.
They did out there. We went to like a Cece's or something and people were getting it.
We buried the lead. Here's what happened. We're still reeling from
it. Well, and I was kind of bringing it back because like I was kind of thinking about different firsts, you know, like
I can't stop thinking about
your
it.
Your first time
something
riding a
bad
bike.
Happened tonight.
Well,
it's like you know how they say things, some things can't be unseen or unheard. Like that experience will never go away.
After talking to Hey Google, I don't understand.
Now it's listening.
I don't understand how.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
I'm leaving that in.
hope you do. What I don't understand is how we all made it to the ages we're at without having this experience.
Honestly, if I wasn't married to you, I would have left this earth and not had that experience.
The crazy thing is when we attempted...
She would have waited until the big charcuterie board in the sky.
She would have skipped it there too.
Why don't you tell them what experience of cheese that we had tonight?
So we were a short time ago field tripping on a Saturday.
Because we just talked about romanticizing your life, you know, be a tourist in your own town.
And we ended up in Thorpe.
Shout out Thorpe!
Yeah, all our Thorpe listeners out there, Thorpedo, not sponsored.
10% of the Thorpe population listening right now.
So we popped into the local dairy. And we got some treats.
Isn't it an actual dairy?
It's an actual literal dairy. 100%. You guys, to be clear, and if you follow me on Instagram, unlike my personal account, I put reels because there was literal cows
being milked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's peak Wisconsin culture.
And it was like an authentic Wisconsin Mexican guy milking the cows.
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
Local barn boots from the Amish store.
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome. And there was, like, some really good cheese there. Like, Carlos and I toothpicked it all the way through the whole buffet of samples. Do you know
the hardest part?
We got to a couple cheeses where as soon as you put the toothpick into it, it, like, disintegrated. I'm like...
That's a sign.
The toothpick disintegrated or the cheese did?
The cheese. It fell apart. You couldn't stick it and pick it.
Tell the people.
So I was talking. We actually went to two dairies.
Oh, my God.
We went to the first one.
What color shirt were you wearing?
And I made a conversation.
What time of the day was
it? I made a crack at Carlos about we should buy this Limburger cheese.
Yeah,
and then I see
and we've all seen it on Tom and Jerry, right?
Yeah,
and wafting, which makes a lot more sense now. Actually,
and there's always that one person in a group that's like, I kind of like it. he said we should buy it, and then I seen that it was like,
to be clear,
$15.
Okay, here's the thing.
It was $15.
Not that one.
Wait, do you think it was bad?
No,
it
might have been.
No.
This is the thing.
Here's the thing. Why
There's
would you
nothing
ever listen
good about something that's bathed in salt baths to make the bacteria breed and grow faster and keep it moist?
Yeah. First, I want you to understand that Carlos, who at any given time, one day he showed up to church with like mealworms. Cheddar flavored.
Yeah, you remember I threw them.
And grasshoppers.
Poured them in my hand.
And was eating them.
And I like jerked my hand away and they just, it was like pixie dust.
The sawdust.
Just totally like anointed
then,
the back of the church with nacho cheesier mealworms.
And then he shows up with like a sucker.
Yeah.
Hard candy with a scorpion in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's eating that. And he walks up to you. See, I learned a lot from having three older brothers. Somebody walks up to you and they're like, hey, don't ask any questions. Just try this. My answer is a definitive hard no. Okay.
Yeah, but
Carlos walks up.
Why not live?
And he's like, oh, I live. That's how I remain living. Listen, and
bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
And then Carlos is like, we ought to try this. And what did you say, Joe? Bet.
Did you?
We were.
Did you say the B word?
I didn't say bet.
Okay, thank you, Jesus.
But we. He found.
Wishes
he
she
found
was so
some.
Cool.
He found some that was affordable. And we.
Affordable.
Maybe that's where we went wrong, is we bought affordable Limburger. We should have went high end on it.
If you see a 50% off sign.
That's the only way they can move it.
There's like just one person out there that's like, I love that stuff. Like, I'm like, hey, come to Wisconsin and buy it all.
Yeah.
What we can tell you just absolutely affirmatively is that it, first of all.
My fingers stink right now.
Yeah.
Like they stink. Because I didn't expect that.
It's been a smells while. Like 12 different types of booty.
My fingers smell like I gave somebody with trench foot a massage between their toes.
I'm telling you right now, we used Bath and Body Works afternoon of apple picking or whatever soap, and it smells like someone went and picked apples
out of somewhere they shouldn't have been placed.
Yeah. If somebody hands
pick
you
picking apples,
I'm telling you right
picking
now,
picking apples out of their bread
listen,
basket.
I'm telling you right God. Now, if somebody hands you an apple that smells like that, okay, Wicked Witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't eat that.
Yeah. That cursed cheese.
Yeah. So,
you know,
it tasted like, this is how I described it. Baby Bell cheese with real sharp cheddar. Cyanide
stirred together in the landfill
and earwax.
Blech.
And it lingers. It should be called Lingerburger cheese.
This might have been this might have been an encounter of an intervention of God Himself, because when we got to the parking lot of the dairy, mm-hmm. I was like, we gotta cut into this bad boy. Anybody got a knife? And they found a jackknife in the back of Carlos's Jeep. And we were just about to get into this thing.
Can you imagine?
And Max goes, what's on the knife? And they start sniffing it. And he's like, PB Blaster. So at some point.
Is that peanut butter blaster?
No.
Because that's how I took it.
It's like WD-40 on steroids.
Well, you know what?
It's a mechanic tool, a lubricant that Carlos probably used to make something come off of something.
Might have made the cheese better.
Honest.
I might have. Yeah, we might have died from it.
So
then,
right
then
now,
they would have been like tainted Limburger cheese and shut the dairy down.
So first of all, thank God it's garbage night at my house.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I might
say
need,
no more.
I might need to wash my hands with gasoline.
Yeah.
That cheese.
I want to say I was
cost
the first,
me almost $30.
I was the first person to swallow it.
I got it 50% off, but then had to pay an extra $20 just to get Max to eat like the tip of a toothpick of it, because I could not let him leave my house as a 18-year-old man going into the world in a couple of years here without having that experience.
I'm gonna tell you right now you're
experience.
Fine without it. You're fine with that.
I think
experience.
Everybody should try it.
No. Nope, you're good. In fact, I'm interested.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not trying to cut you off, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, when you try Limburger cheese, don't just try it, experience it. I mean, handle that thing like you're a blind person reading Braille.
Listen.
Get in there.
Joe is talking like that now, and when I tell you the sheer and total panic that washed across his face as he, like, violently grabbed a handful of onions, raw onions, to chase the Limburger cheese with.
I did, too.
You did. And his
I ate
face,
them all.
He did. And I don't know if it made it better or worse.
I don't know, but my lip still smelled like cheese. How did it... I opened my mouth and threw it in. I don't even know how it touched
Joe, no,
anything.
Here's the thing. You were standing over me, and I literally, and I meant it, I said, Joe, your breath stank.
It still does.
Seriously.
I'm afraid that I'll never be able to poop again. Because my body's probably like, I don't want that coming through anything else, any kind of way.
Your body's like, woo, woo. Yeah.
If I have any tapeworm, pinworm, any parasites, they're probably like,
help.
what is going on?
They're like,
we've made it all these years, and now it's a pandemic inside the body of the king.
Basically, here's the thing. We got that out of the way. Now we need to try quicksand.
Hey, and they say that's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, hey. Yeah. While we're at it, let's do the slingshot ride with no seatbelts.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I think they got one in the Dells.
No, but listen, I feel like I would, first of all, Joe trying to encourage people to do this, he is clearly a state-sponsored big cheese lobbyist trying to push a Limburger agenda. And don't fall for it. It's fake news.
I can tell you about Limburger, though, honestly, is it's not Democrat or Republican. It's not any party. Everybody can eat. It's
definitely independent.
Everybody can come to that
table. I think it would unite America.
I think so, too.
That everyone would hate it altogether.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yes.
No.
So when you say lingering, like, so you go through the experience, you eat it, it's horrible. But when she says lingering, it like gets stuck. The smell gets stuck on like your upper lip.
Like it's part of our DNA. Now.
It gets stuck on your fingers. So you're trying to like go on with your evening, yeah, and then you just get a whiff of it again.
I think that
if you run into us in the next week and you go, ooh, her butt stank. It doesn't. It doesn't stank. It's the cheese.
It's the cheese.
Now it's like the colors that come in all that paper.
Yeah. You gotta rub it all over.
Carlos is talking about dabbing it a little behind his ears.
Yeah. Oh no.
Getting ready for a night out on the town.
You know, today it was like 100 degrees out, and I smelled so much better than that cheese after working in that all day. You know,
Heidi keeps trying to take a drink of her water, and her water bottle nozzle smells like the cheese.
She took it off.
She took it off.
I did. I can't.
I would be tempted to take a little slab of that home. I know you want to keep it, so I'm going to let you. But I would be tempted to take a slab of that home and just eat like three good things, throw a couple up, let Pluto catch them, and then totally just bomb.
Poor guy. I bet he
Limburger.
Hey, I bet he puked. Yeah. But here's the thing. There was a moment when I tell you sheer panic sets in. Okay, it happened for Joe, and his reaction was the raw onions. I got angry, and they were all looking at me, trying it, and I finally went, "Where's my water?" Because I didn't know where it was and needed it.
I learned a valuable lesson at that moment because water definitely wouldn't do anything for you when it comes to the limb of the burger. You need something with
the limb of the burger.
You need something that has.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Taste value.
The sound is the storm. It's severe weather season. No, it's severe weather season here in Wisconsin.
If you're listening to this and we're gone and you heard that, a lot in the of people, background.
If they're not from Wisconsin, they don't know. First of all, we have testing.
That's
sirens.
A Wisconsin thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday of the month,
we have testing. But right now, we have a little bit of a severe thunderstorm watch going on.
Yeah.
So you can hear.
Well, sirens are warnings, which means one's been spotted.
You know what? What does that mean?
You know what we could do?
It means it's not just a watch.
We could go outside with a slingshot and launch a piece of Limburger
in case
into a tornado, and then everybody
in
Wisconsin would try.
You know what? Limburger would actually be an incredible like safety, like forget mace.
Yeah.
Like just put
can
some
you
of
imagine
that in the guy's
you
face.
Just take just and smear it.
Yeah, we should patent this.
Oh, sick.
Keep it in the back of your pants. Reach down, grab a handful, and just right across somebody's five across your eyes, yeah, baby. You
know, they'd be running from
you. So a watch is, this is how they say it on the news, a watch is you have all the ingredients to make tacos.
Correct.
And a warning is there's a taco made and ready to eat it.
That's right.
Okay. So we'll be fine.
Now I'm hungry for tacos.
We're under the protection of God Almighty.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Speaking of God.
Yeah. The real king, if you will.
Yes.
My fingers still smell like it, though.
Okay, so everybody keeps smelling their fingers.
No, this, hey, disclaimer.
I cut the cheese.
We've all washed our hands.
No less than three. At one point, I took a pepperoncini. Banana pepper, and I rubbed it on my fingers.
I wonder if it's like garlic, where you got to rub your hands down with the stainless steel.
I'll try it.
What?
To get the smell of garlic off your hands, you rub stainless steel on your fingers.
But the thing is, you guys, is that it is now, it's part of my fingerprint, is what it smells like.
It's changed your fingerprint.
It's changed who I am as a person. So
I do feel like I know things now.
Yeah. If you see us and we have that look in our eye like we've seen too much.
Yeah, it's been too much.
It's the Limburger.
So
Heidi and I were talking earlier today, and I don't know if you have a topic, but I'm launching into one.
You can go ahead. I was just going to talk about how she dropped the bomb of double-mindedness on everybody.
Yeah, that was a
that was good.
Big one. But here, you know what's funny about that? Number one. You brought up James, and the unreleased but went out today episode of Crown of Victory was on the same, like, God gives more grace to the humble.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And you had no idea.
Yeah.
So God's doing something in James.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of people in James right now.
Well, Nick pulled me aside, too, and he was showing me.
Shout out, Nick.
When he pulled it up, he's like, you know, this. He had something highlighted, and he's like, this goes along with what we're doing.
Yeah.
He's like, I've never seen it written this way before. He goes, it happened to be in, I think, the NLT.
Mm-hmm.
It was the version he was looking at. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is such a good way to speak that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
So I was telling Heidi, when people are around their kids, if you don't have kids, but you're around people with kids, you notice very quickly that they don't hear their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we tune them out.
We hear your kids, but you don't hear your kids.
Oh, right. I hear my kids.
But, like, there are times where your daughter's on the 15th dad.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you don't hear it, but we do.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't hear it.
But well, people don't hear their own dogs.
Yeah.
There's a right way to enter.
You get used
yeah,
to
but
hearing
yes,
things.
But also it's like, mm-hmm. you have, like, a different baseline.
Yep.
So, like, Carlos and I, our house is very quiet.
Yeah.
And we don't have dogs barking. We don't have kids running around. We don't have all that. So we notice immediately when people have those ambient noises, right? Yep. Now, it's not right, wrong, or anything.
Yeah. It's
noises
just you're used
thing,
to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in an environment where I can hear noises like that, I was telling Heidi, like, because of the way I'm wired, it, I don't want it to come off negative, but like if something has happened around me, I might not hear a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, there are times where I was telling Heidi, I was leading a song, like I was singing and I was playing, but a lot of playing is muscle memory.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I bet a lot of singing then is too. Like, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent. Yeah. But, like, the weird part is, like, I can be thinking about something else completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm autopilot. Still singing.
Yep.
And I'm still playing. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, in my brain, I'm having, like, a full thought process going on. And I'm like, oh, look at that person's shirt. Oh, that person's getting touched by the Lord. The whole time I'm singing a song. Okay.
Wild.
I literally have to stop myself mentally. Like this also, I'm still singing the same song. And I have to say, you're not worshiping right now.
Yeah.
You're going through the motions. And you have to. Wow. Someone's phone.
It's me.
It's you.
I can't turn it off though.
Oh, that's true. Heidi's going through life on a rotary phone. But Shut I up. Have to stop myself and I have to say, okay, you're not worshiping right now. And then I have to like think about what am I singing? What are the words?
Yeah.
Who am I singing them to? And I need to focus and I need to like bring it back.
Yep.
Okay. And some of that is just because I'm so used to doing the thing.
Yeah.
Heidi had us, she was talking about double-mindedness. And then at the end of the message, you had us repeat a prayer. Mm-hmm. I called her today and I said, what's the prayer? What was the prayer? Did you have it written in your notes? She was like, really? The one time I go off the cuff.
Yeah.
So she didn't have it written down, which is totally fine. But I was playing, because we play at the end of the service, right? Mm-hmm. I repeated the prayer. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Every time I have somebody repeat a prayer like that, though, that's not typical for me.
Yeah.
So that's usually prompted by the Spirit. And I found that when I'm in that place, I find myself almost convicted saying it, because I'm like, we're all being made very accountable for something right now.
Yeah. It's not a like a critique or a criticism of the repeating the prayer.
Yeah.
But it goes to show, like, you have to take control of your thoughts and your mind.
Yeah.
While these types of things are happening.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be, like we're literally in battle.
Yep.
And you're not going to get a perfect experience where, like, if you're thrown off and can't, you have to have very specific certain circumstances in order to get close to God and get in your prayer closet. Like, there is no prayer closet on the battlefield, babe.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to go and like light a candle.
Yeah.
And put on soft music.
Yeah.
So that you can get in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's also interesting because a lot of, in my personal day, I feel like I get attacked most mentally,
mm-hmm.
of like when I'm trying to worship or when I'm trying to listen to the word or all these things. I feel like I get attacked just as much in the house of God as I do outside in my own house at home.
Yeah.
Because during the work week, I will literally be like going through something and my mind will naturally stray to Jesus. Wonder what the word says about that. Like, oh, I got to pray about that. Yeah. Like, my mind is always naturally going there outside of church.
Right.
But then when I'm inside church,
mm-hmm.
that's wild. And that's when, like, so many people, like, do not talk about this, but they will have, like, invasive thoughts.
Literally.
In the middle of a church service.
Yeah. You're thinking about everything except God.
Yeah.
And I think the enemy tries to get that to happen because, first of all, he wants to dilute your experience in the house of God.
Yeah.
And he wants to make it feel like it's a waste of your time and it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And he wants to steal from you in that moment.
Yes.
Because that's where you're going to, you have all the troops are rallied.
Yeah. Well, and for a lot of people, if church is their safe place, like if the building of the church is their safe place, and then all of a sudden when they're in their safe place, these things can happen.
Yeah.
Then it also makes them start to not trust what did I just do wrong? What's going on? Because this is now no longer my safe place. If I get images of pornography while I'm trying to sing a worship song.
Yeah.
Because that happens often and to
those
many
are
people.
Really, really blatant things. What about the ones that can't sit through a service without thinking about the person next to them and whether or not they're receiving what's being said because they're listening to hear for them?
That is crazy that you say that.
Yeah. Listening to hear for themselves.
Because at the beginning, and I probably, like, I maybe should have, but, like, I just didn't. But I felt like I needed to say, I need everybody to listen today, not for your neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because when we preach,
that's crazy.
I watch the audience, and I watch people look over at.
Oh, dude, I've seen people like look pointedly at their spouse.
I've done that to Joe,
and then make a note and then look back. Like, have you ever seen the meme where it's like the pastor's wife looking at her kids when the pastor starts talking about obeying your parents?
Yeah,
and it's like a mom looking over her shoulder, like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They amen a little louder.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing. How many times have we gone to church, been in the service, and like weaponized.
Yeah.
The sermon against easiest one is our spouse.
Yeah.
Like, and see, and yeah. that is just confirmation from God that what I have been saying this whole time is true. Whoa.
Yeah.
And what about it applied to you, babe?
Yeah.
The interest, or are you only listening so that you can weaponize it against your husband?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wife.
Yeah. The interesting thing about like our personal experience with things like that is more often than not, when there would be a situation like that, mm-hmm. the one that needs to hear that is actually probably in a season where God's working on softening their heart mm-hmm. or creating in them a new heart.
Yeah.
And when they do get that revelation.
And they will.
You know, you're going to think that they should have gotten it sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's because mm-hmm. you're on time and God's on eternity. And when you're stuck on your timeline and how things should play out,
yeah.
you will block God from working in your life.
Absolutely.
You will tie the hands of the angels he's given charge over you with your attitudes, yep. with your conduct,
yep.
with your words.
Yeah.
The power of life and death are in the tongue. Because you can't get there fast enough and you're not actually giving thanks and praise and entering into his courts with thanksgiving for what he's doing currently. Yeah.
You know, I was just, okay, so I was just talking to somebody last Wednesday because we did an event.
Yes.
And the gal that I was talking to was recently at the tent revival.
Yeah.
And like was called out of the crowd and like God was performing a miracle on her and her husband. And like at the Mario Murillo thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, how are you feeling since the tent revival? And she's like, well, you know how the enemy likes to work. Mm-hmm. She's like, I am better, but I'm not 100%, mm-hmm. but I'm getting there. And her and I were talking and I said, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of times the enemy will make you shut your mouth because you don't have 100% of your miracle yet. Yeah. And then the whole, you overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the lamb and the word of your testimony, yeah. opposite order. Like you're not overcoming by the word of your testimony because you're holding it back because you're not even thanking God yet. For the 50% better you are right now.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the enemy sometimes convinces people that if they confess it prematurely,
they'll get attacked.
It won't finish.
Yeah.
Kids, parents looking at their kids like, oh, you better be getting this. You better be receiving this. And you cannot judge whether they have eyes to see or ears to hear because their personal relationship with Jesus is very different than yours. That becomes really problematic because you're probably sitting in a congregation or a body of believers who has, you know, 25%+ of people who can't get their children to attend church.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already sitting in a better situation than a group of people that are there with right. you know, and then to have these expectations that line up with your current established relationship with Jesus for another human being with free will.
Like God gives us, he, when you're in the congregation, cause I don't preach over the pulpit, you guys do. And mom and dad do like our senior pastors. Right. And like, but I don't have like a pulpit ministry and it's easy to be in the crowd and think, I wish so-and-so would have been here to hear this today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the whole time God's like, hello, I'm talking yeah. to you.
Like if you were here,
I'm talking to you
for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
I'm talking to you. Yeah.
If you're in a place of that compassion,
my fingernail, I didn't hurt.
If you're in a place of compassion
mm-hmm.
and you're the one who hears the message, there's times where you might be able to
deliver that message and they'll receive from you, but they may have some sort of offense with me. Mm-hmm. And if I speak the message, they may have walls up.
Yeah.
That happens often. We go into situations all the time where, because of Heidi's history with God and having to learn to forgive somebody that was unworthy of forgiveness by deed and by years of
conduct.
Experience and mm-hmm. conduct, then walking that out, they're less likely. There's women that we've sat down to talk with and they have walls up to me.
Yeah.
Like they'll completely stare off into space while I'm talking. They'll shut me out. And it always comes back to, you know, wherever they're hurt or whatever. And I'm not a good place for them to get freedom with because, you know, they might be connecting their issue with some form of masculinity or a man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So what if God gives that rhema word, that right now word, and you listen to it and you're like, oh, I wish so-and-so. Well, you just heard it.
Yeah.
Take some notes. And then allow God to give you the high points when you're in conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he would have for them to hear.
Yeah.
We talk about that in the street ministry because I was sharing with a lot of the younger kids. A game changer is when you stop watching for the limping guy going across the street. Because
mm-hmm.
that's a big deal. When you first get into like evangelism or street ministry, you know, these signs will follow them that believe. And if you see somebody limping, it's easy to jump in and be like, hey, what happened? Well, I twisted my ankle.
Yeah, but what about what's invisible?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. hey, can we pray for you? God is a good God. He'll heal you. And then you're trying to get them to receive Christ. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not going to heal their leg today.
Can I tell you, there's this phenomenon in families. And it happens a lot where there's a child, one of the children has special needs. Like, let's say you have two kids. You do. You have two children.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be easy for you to imagine. And let's say Jasmine's special needs. She's not. But let's just say.
I think all kids in some way are special needs.
No, because, but I mean like special needs.
Right, right.
You know, I know. Like a handicap.
Yeah.
The other kid often is referred to as the glass child because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to just, it's easy to look through them and the glass child is, quote, neglected, right? Yep. Not intentionally. It's not malicious. It's just like, you know, necessity.
Yeah.
Bandwidth.
Yep.
You just end up spending more time, and people do that with friendships. You and I have talked about this. It's mm-hmm. like, if you know that somebody needs a little bit more right now, you're going to give your attention and time and effort to that person. And you know that like your lifelong friendships, it's like, okay, she's going to understand. And like, I'm going to catch up with her. And every time we do that, we pick right up where we left off. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're looking for those special needs cases.
Mm.
In who to pray for, who to address, or who to help, like you were just mentioning.
Yeah, like the squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're overlooking, and it reminds me of that story. Do you remember that story that Dad used to tell Joe, where, and he probably still does on occasion, but like he was driving over the road and he pulled into a diner and God told him to buy a guy's dinner.
Yeah.
And the guy was counting out change, but he was dressed really nicely.
Yeah, he was in a nice suit.
Yeah.
And Dad was disobedient. And he said, seriously, I'm an over-the-road truck driver and you're I'm going to pay for this guy's dinner.
Yeah.
And he's being dramatic and counting out change. Like, are you kidding me? And wasn't he like modifying his order too? Like, what can I get with what I have? Like, how can I get the most food?
The problem was, he couldn't count. Like he had the waitress come up and say, he said, like, do I have enough to get this and a piece of pie? Mm. And she's like, no. And then they had to like count it out. And he goes, well, what about this and a piece of pie?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, still won't have enough.
Mm.
And this happened multiple times.
And the whole time, Dad was kind of like, and he's not proud of this. Like, he was scoffing. Yeah. And like, judging like the book, are you kidding?
Just pull out your credit card. Yeah, unclench, or your wallet, dude. And just buy your food and your dinner.
And God was dealing with him and was like, you need to buy this guy's dinner. How often are we doing that? Like,
right. And he was a pretty new Christian.
Yeah.
Pastor Tim was. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening was finally the waitress got him to where he could just get a piece of pie.
Mm-hmm.
And God kept speaking to him audibly, saying, just buy his dinner. Buy his food. And he kept thinking, like, you know, that's obviously the devil. I was actually just at a training, and it was really interesting. We were down in Chicago before we went to the DNC to minister to protesters. And the guy doing the training was from a huge ministry in Texas. And he was talking about hearing from God. And he just did a little test. He said, hey, how many of you have a number in your head or in your heart that God just gave you of how many people you're going to minister to today? And people were kind of like apprehensive. And then one lady said, well, I heard the number 12, but I think I'm only going to be able to do 6 because that's a big number. And he said, you probably do the same thing with your giving.
He said that?
He said, how many of you people ask God before the offering's taken,
yeah,
Lord, what would you have me give today? And he says, $100. And you're like, oof, I'll do 50.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the thing. Is we have to go with the big number because the devil's never going to, that must have been the devil. I ain't got no $100. He said, the devil's never going to tell you to pour $100 into the kingdom of heaven because he knows that'll reach lost souls.
Yeah.
He said, you got to start thinking right because the devil's never going to support financially the kingdom of heaven by telling you to give more.
Right.
Right. So he said, go with your bigger number, go for 12. Right. So, back to what Pastor Tim was going through, the idea of buying this man's dinner, but the guy had the appearance of somebody that could afford better. And then he kind of wrestled with the voice of the Lord over it, ended up leaving. And he had worked like 85 or 90 hours that week. He got all this overtime. He already had like things planned out that he was going to do that weekend. He was going to take the family on a trip. He had this extra money coming.
Yeah.
He was paid weekly. So it was like already, you know, at the tip of his fingers to have this finances. And then he goes to get his paycheck on Friday and he opens it up and there was like $1.55 on his entire paycheck.
Mm.
Somebody in accounting screwed something up. He didn't have any of his overtime. He didn't have any of his hours. It was like just this random fluke. They couldn't make him a new check there because they came out of somewhere up in Minnesota. And all of a sudden he hears the voice of the Lord speak to him, says, you can afford it.
Mm.
You can live off that. You can afford it.
Yeah. And he learned from that.
Yeah.
He did.
So do you know what I love about that story? He knew that God talked to him. Right? He recognized that he didn't listen. And then when something happened financially, he didn't immediately go, I'm being attacked. I am being so attacked right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He didn't say like that. Like, he wasn't mad.
He recognized at the God. Correction.
He wasn't like, why me, Lord? When he was like, wow. Lesson learned.
He learned. Scripture says, my sheep know my voice. He wrestled with the thought of just buy his food, just go pay his bill. He wrestled with the thought thinking that it was him. He didn't immediately know it was the voice of the Lord. It was in the testimony.
But like
that he learned, like that was God talking to me.
Oh, okay. But still. The whole chastisement of the Lord, like it's time and time and time and time again where I get so many questions all the time of, well, God's not a mean God. Why does God allow bad things to happen? Why does this, and this
happen? Well, when you're watching your kid learn to walk.
Yeah.
It's not mean.
Yeah.
for you as a parent to let your toddler toddle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to fall down flat on their butt.
Yeah.
And they might get startled.
Yeah.
And but they start to learn.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
And
everybody thinks that the love of God means that, like, nothing bad can ever happen ever. Right. Otherwise, it's God's fault. Mm-hmm. And that's so opposite of what God is.
You're not in scripture if you're thinking like that.
They're distorting on what love is what the problem is.
This is the thing. The Bible mentions justice like 545 times.
God is a
times,
just God.
But
yes.
Love 140. God loved the obedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God loved the obedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
Where did they end up?
The fire.
Right.
The furnace.
God loved the obedience of Daniel. Where did he end up?
The den.
Yeah. So when you go through story after story, that's Old Testament, Joe. God loved.
I love Old Testament.
God loved the obedience of Paul.
Yes.
Saul. Yes. Paul.
Yeah. Where do you write all his letters from?
Prison. God loved the obedience of Peter. Where did Peter end up? Peter ended up locking doors in rooms and trying to figure out what was going on after Jesus was Christ crucified. We have this dumb idea that the same God that allowed Ananias and Sapphira to be struck dead in the church separately.
Yeah.
First one walked in, lied. Second one walks in, tells the same lies.
Yeah.
They both fell out. The apostles, the disciples that were there had to drag them out and bury them.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a real reverence for who God is.
Absolutely.
That was my original point. Like, when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
In going through the motions. It's like we've gotten too comfortable that we can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people in the same room being shaken to their core by the presence of God.
Yeah.
And like, I'm struggling to keep my head in the game, mm-hmm. you know?
I had an encounter with God in 2009. And I did not come out of that encounter of cutting covenant with God going, this is Abba, Father, Daddy, Jesus, my best friend. Mm-hmm. Didn't have that. Like, I knew that, mm-hmm. that, like, there's nobody advocate. Better mm-hmm. for me than him, but I have a respect for him, right?
Yep.
Well, fast forward 15 years, right? I went through something a month ago, and it was incredible. I felt so distanced from God.
Yeah.
And I felt, and I knew that it was like my conduct because I was doing all the things, worshiping, leading, teaching, speaking, praying for people. People were still getting healed.
Yeah.
I'd get like a word like every Sunday and somebody would get healed of something. God moved.
Yeah.
But there was a distance there. I didn't move away from him, so to speak. But he was calling me forward into a deeper walk, and I wasn't going forward. I was just staying complacent. I was staying where I was at. I was doing what worked, right? So for several weeks, there's been this struggle, and I'm like just praying like, God, like I've been saying, Jesus, help me like 300 times a day for like 4 weeks. Every I'll just catch myself saying it. And I'm just like, Jesus, I need you. Help me. And then all of a sudden today I'm doing something and there's a guy that's a prophetic guy that I love and he's got a very amazing track record. And so I somehow a video that he just made popped into my my You Should Watch or something on YouTube and I threw it on and he starts talking and he all of a sudden says, he was talking about people getting down and discouraged because of where they're at and feeling distance from God. And he said, this isn't like God forsaking you. It's God preparing you and cleaning house because you can't go into what you're called to that's coming in a very short order the way you've been. Yeah. That won't work there. And it hit me to my core. And I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for cleaning house. Thank you for cleaning this out. Because I don't want to be in a position where I'm okay with unclean things. I don't want to be in a position where I'm okay with just being saved.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to be in a position where I'm okay with not saying the thing when other people are in the room doing wrong.
Mm-hmm. So purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mm-hmm. So you were just talking about, so purify is getting the contaminants out.
Yep.
So you've like basically been living like God getting the contaminants out.
Yeah.
It's a hard process.
And you were talking about how purification is not an easy process. Mm-mm.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like if people even knew the half of it.
Yeah.
I was a competitive eater. Like I ate food in gluttony. I won money in t-shirts.
Yeah.
What comes along with competitive eating?
I don't know.
Purging.
Oh.
There's so many things where God's like, yeah, you could go and you could do these things, but it takes an evil controlling spirit for somebody to be able to make themselves do things like that, like expel food that they've eaten. There's so many things he's been working on me about.
Wow.
So
can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I literally for probably 4 or 5 years have been praying about that specific thing for you.
Mm. Wow.
Like to the point where like mom and dad know that I've been praying.
So there's been all these things, right? Where where you can't be somebody that's not transparent and have power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that being said, you know, just in a month of seeking God, feeling like I'm not hearing back, right? The only time I feel like I'm hearing is when it's for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm begging like, oh, Lord, don't let me feel distance from you. And then he's like, there's been very specific things. Mm-hmm. Immediately I knew like this has got to go, this has got to go, this has got to go. Like you can't go do these things anymore. Yeah. You can't allow this in your house under your roof anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot partner with people that are allowing these things in their house anymore.
Do you know a lot of people, like God's been working on me in a different way. But a lot of people, they seek the thing and not Jesus, okay? So, like, I was listening to this lady. I can't think of her name right now, but she was talking about, like, when you think of Jesus, like, what's one word that you come up with? And, like, she had a word, but one of her, like, dear friends and mentors said relaxed, right? And what she said was, that's like the last thing you'd think of.
Yeah.
Right. But he was relaxed because of his proximity to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like the disciples are freaking out and he's taking a nap.
He never freaked out. Yeah.
And he was very thoughtful and articulate and intentional, even when he got angry.
Yep.
Right. And what we end up doing as humans is we seek the relaxation without the proximity to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we seek the peace without the proximity to the Father. We're seeking the byproduct of proximity to the Father, and we're trying to bypass God.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get the byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually, like, he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him.
Yep.
That's where your peace comes from.
Yep.
The peace is a byproduct of your proximity to Jesus.
Yep.
The relaxation is that relaxed, you know, even my mind, right? Because that's where I was getting caught up is like my mind is racing. My mind is not relaxed. My mind is not focused. My proximity to Jesus needs to result in that. Mm-hmm. It will result in that. But my goal should not be because people will cut out the thing that steals their peace. They'll say, oh, I don't want to do that because that makes me, that steals my relaxation. That steals my peace.
Yeah.
That makes me feel less peaceful. So I'm going to cut that out of my life.
Yeah.
That's, you can't live like that.
Yeah.
You can't just like remove parts of your life, right?
Yeah.
Instead, you just keep on running. I mean, if you can picture a wild horse. We saw wild horses in Theodore Roosevelt National Park. They run like full bore. Imagine Pluto when you first let him out and he's just running so fast and so hard. That is how we need to run after Jesus.
Yeah.
And then all these other things will align.
That's right.
And he'll tailor and prune and tweak who we are. And well, he created us who we are, but we've got all these layers of crap.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get that off of us so that we can be who he created us to be in the first place.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
Well, and you can never minister through something you've not experienced.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where God's taking any of us on this. There's probably people under the sound of our voice that have struggled with weight and things like that for years.
Yeah.
People, you know how many church people I've taken out to like a restaurant and I'll eat 10 pounds of food in front of them?
Well, because it's all under this guise of fellowship. Well, break bread together.
I'll do that because there's also like this, there was always this, what's the word? This image and like this idea, like this is like this guy that can do anything, you know? And like,
it was almost like a party trick.
Yeah. Yeah. So now understanding like that was a door to the devil. There was a spirit involved with that. It was a spirit that comes with wastefulness, gluttony, anger, anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And and all these things. And now working through some of these things and understanding that God's got something big on the horizon. Otherwise, we wouldn't be going through this.
That's right.
And we have to really trust him. We have to trust him because
in
the middle of the battle or in the middle of the storm, sometimes you don't feel like the king is on the front lines with you.
Right.
Right.
When you feel like he left the battle.
When the soldiers go out to war,
he's
still commanding the rest of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right. So do we lose faith in a king that has enough faith in his generals to say, you don't need me on the front lines. You're equipped. I gave you all the tools.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be right there with you in a sense of you staring me in the face, waiting for me to say, now do this. I have other people that I'm bringing up that I have to rule over that will make poor decisions if I'm not coming in faithfulness with decrees and words over their lives that'll bring them from glory to glory, truth to truth, you know? And it's like learning. This is a huge learning experience for me.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Hebrews 4:13. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, everything, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It, like, we all have the things.
Yep.
Like, my wandering mind. And, you know, it's not easy to admit that.
Yeah.
Like, people look up to worship leaders.
Yep.
And they think, like, wow, if I could only, you know? And they're like, and there have been times where people come up and they're like, worship was awesome. You did such a great job. And I'm thinking to myself, what a farce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my heart wasn't in it. I was thinking about 14 things I have to do once I leave here, you know?
Yeah.
I have to be very intentional
about
reeling that in, because I feel like, you know, first of all, to lead worship is not to stand up and lead people in specific words to songs per se. It's, and I've talked to Max and Nicholas and others about this. You lead by doing it.
Yeah.
You're first in line to do it. You're not like, if you could imagine yourself, I'm not facing the people. Right. Spiritually.
Right.
I'm faced towards Jesus. Yeah. And then people need to follow suit. and look, don't look at me, look at him, right? Yeah. That's the goal. Lead people that way. Yeah. Lead people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And you feel like a failure sometimes when you walk away from that and you're like, yeah, I don't even remember what happened there. Because I went through the motions.
Yeah. We're not created to be allowed to do anything we want and still have proximity to a holy God. We're not created that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody that ever was. You know, when they said, good rabbi, Jesus said, why do you call me good? Nobody's good except for the Father. Yeah. Right? Because he had taken flesh upon himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing good in the flesh. Right?
Right. Right.
Because that's where the temptations come.
Yeah.
He would have never said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, take it.
Right.
If he was not in flesh.
Right.
Right.
Right? So us understanding that we can't be half in. Right. I cannot say, Lord, I want to serve you with all that I am, inside and out, and then say, but today, let me go bury my father. You know, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
Go and sell all your possessions and follow me. And the guy lived the rest of his life in lament and in bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how fast bitterness becomes a real problem?
Yeah, it settles in.
It starts as like a, it starts right, you know, because like somebody really does offend you and they hurt you and you're like, I don't have to take that.
But it's not, if it's not dealt with.
Or you're like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Stuff it. And you convince yourself you're fine, but you're not.
And it starts like that. And then all of a sudden it's bitterness.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're easily entertained with thinking about the downfall of others or even sometimes making jokes at their expense or whatever. That's all witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft is anything somebody uses, any spirit somebody uses that's not the Holy Spirit to control somebody.
Yeah.
And nobody can use the Holy Spirit to control somebody.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's your comforter, your
it's
help.
He's not just goosebumps.
Yeah. So yeah. When we get to a place of where we're utilizing our giftings to keep people at bay or put them where we want them or, you know, buttering them up. You know, if somebody knows that you get words and a lot of them are right on, and then all of a sudden you're utilizing that gift to tell them nice things about themselves that God's not saying, that's witchcraft.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've been on the outside looking in at some people's issues before.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost find like marital stuff. And it's like you want to address it and be like, what's happening here is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than being like, okay, I have a burden for this couple, obviously. I need to get on my face before God and intercede.
Yeah.
Fast, pray.
Yeah. What you want to do is you want to do a cryptic Facebook post.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You want to start posting scriptures.
I've done a million
You want to find an opportunity to be like, you know, the Lord was telling me. Or you even ask God, like, God, give me a word for these people. And it's like, your heart isn't even in the right place. You want to correct. Like, that's the Holy Spirit's job.
That's mm-hmm. a root of bitterness.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like, you really, it's like all these things, you got to check your heart. You got to check, you got to submit all members, including your tongue and your brain and all the things under God's authority. Or it will very quickly go off the rails because your human nature wants to step in and wants to see justice, to see correction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God will address it.
Yeah.
That's the thing is we've taken these matters into our own hands thinking, God, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You did not correct them, God. You don't know what you're doing. He knows time. Right. He knows when the Pharisees, when the Pharisees would think something, he would speak to them what they were thinking, and he would give them the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the same way with man, because like you said in that scripture, nothing is hidden. So when somebody thinks they're getting away with something, they're not.
Yeah.
But God's not going to correct them until their heart's in a right place where they'll turn to him.
Yeah.
I was just listening to a sermon by Landon Schott, and it was so good because he said, I love deliverance. I absolutely love it because deliverance takes you out of some oppressive situation and moves you closer to God.
Yeah.
He said, what I don't like is men's deliverance ministries that put them between the person and God, where you have any to come ministry, to me so you can get free, and you have to come to me so you can stay free, and we'll cast it out, and we'll talk to it. And take deliverance should put you so close to God, because now the house gets filled with his Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You want your house filled with his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we have to understand, like, that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to want somebody to get righted and they're wrong, and God can see the intention of their heart, that if he gives them that freedom today, they're going to squander it.
Yeah. You know, it all comes back to, you need to, like all of us, we need to change our way of thinking. Being close to Jesus and intimacy with God needs to mean more to you than seeing justice served. Yeah. It needs to mean more to you than seeing somebody laid bare for their wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. It needs to mean more to you than seeing your relationship with Jesus and being close to him and doing what honors him and what is honorable to him needs to mean more to you. Hot take. You ready for it? Than your son getting saved. Yeah. Than your daughter getting saved. Than any other thing in this world. You have to want him more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's you seek him first and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. We have it so backwards, and we dig our heels in, and then we accuse God of being unkind.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we also test it and put a time limit on it.
Yes.
So a lot of people will apply that verse of seek, right? Seek first the kingdom
of
heaven.
Yeah, I stayed the whole service.
Yep. Yeah, or I did this, like, I did this for a full month.
Like, hello.
And I don't see any results yet. Like, they're always in the back of their mind, they're always putting a time limit on everything.
Yes.
And then they're like, well, that didn't work.
Right. You need to seek God so long and so hard that you lose track of time.
Exactly. And that's when it happens.
It's like the idea, I don't know if we've ever, I feel like we've said this. The lady, I think it's like us under the Tuscan sun or whatever, where she's like, she was looking for a man. And the lady said to her, when I was a little girl, I used to look for hours for a ladybug in the grass. And then once I would just relax, I would fall asleep in the grass. I'd wake up and they'd be crawling all over me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you need to just get close to God, nestle into him, seek his righteousness, do whatever you can to be pleasing to him, and you're going to come back to yourself, so to speak, and you're going to realize,
whoa,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
First of all, I don't even know how long I was gone.
Yeah, but look at what he did in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the words tonight that were spoken. We thank you that the Holy Spirit was present. And we ask, Father God, that any listeners, Lord, just had their eyes and their ears opened, and that they were able to receive what was spoken tonight, and that you just use these words for them to be able to just grow and to get freedom and to have just a closeness with you, Jesus, because your word says that if we draw near to you, that you're going to draw near to us. And we thank you for that, and we pray a blessing over every single person listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.